जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत शिष्य मदेस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत कदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड श्री राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की, ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की, मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की, हिताय गौर प्रेमानंदी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जाया मुदीरहे, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టకి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీనందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః.
శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 12 చాప్టర్ 7 టెక్స్ట్ 21.
విరమేత యదా చీతం హిత్వా వృత్రిత్రయం స్వయం యోగేన వా తదాత్మనం విదేహాయ నివర్తేత్. విరమేత యదా చిత్తం హిత్వా వృత్తిత్రయం స్వయం యోగేన వా తదాత్మానం వేదహయా నివర్తతే. విరమేత యదా చిత్తం హిత్వా వృత్తిత్రయం స్వయం యోగేన వా తదాత్మానం విదేహాయ నివర్తతే. విరామేత యదా చిత్తం హిత్వా వృత్తిత్రయం స్వయం యోగేన వా తదాత్మానం విదేహాయ నివర్తతే.
విరమేత, దిస్ ఇస్ యదా, వెన్ చితం ద మైండ్, హిత్వా గివింగ్ అప్, ప్రతిత్రయం ద ఫంక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద మటీరియల్ లైఫ్ ఇన్ ద త్రీ ఫేజెస్ ఆఫ్ వేకింగ్, ఇన్ ద త్రీ ఫేజెస్ ఆఫ్ వేకింగ్ స్లీప్ and deep sleep, swayam automatically, yogena by regulated spiritual practice, va or tada then, atmanam the supreme soul, ved he knows, itaya from material endeavor, nivartate he ceases. Translation: either automatically or because of one's regulated spiritual practice, one's mind may stop functioning on the material platform of waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep. Then one understands the supreme soul and withdraws from the material endeavor. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.33, Bhakti devotional service dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate endeavor, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat. The subtle material body is inclined to exploit nature through sex, greed, false pride, and madness. Loving service to the Lord, however, dissolves the stubborn false ego and lifts one to pure blissful consciousness, Krishna consciousness, the sublime perfection of existence. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It's the last class I gave was in February. I'm feeling happy to be back in this service. Actually, March, sorry, not February, March. And it's so nice to be again back to the at least somewhat original natural situation of our life, to come to the temple and to perform services. So this is the 12th canto, chapter 7, the chapter entitled The Puranic Literatures, which speaks about the various Puranas, the various personalities who spoke the Puranas, I mean who were involved in this different Puranas. And this particular verse very beautifully explains the power of devotional service and how we can get away from this, how we can withdraw from the material endeavors. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavan chakare nikatiya mayastane japatiya dhare. That the disease that we all are suffering from is Krishna bhuliya jiva, that we have forgotten Krishna. And nikateya mayastane japati adhare, and that's why maya captures us, and that's why we are constantly engaged in material endeavors. This verse very clearly mentions ihaya, from material endeavors, nivartate, he ceases. So one who engages in devotional service, he ceases from material endeavors. So the different ways that we find in our shastras, the different authorities, they describe the situation in the material world. It's sometimes described as if we are passing through a very, very dark tunnel for a long period of time, and then we come to the light. The light is knowledge. Different comparisons are made. But one of the very normal or one of the usually made comparisons is that this material world, we are compared to be in a diseased condition, right? Disease, anichya aushadhi maya nashi baro lagi, Harinama Mahamantra lao to me, Magi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, I have got this Aushadhi. Why should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak about Aushadhi? Unless until he wanted to indicate to all of us the fact that we are all in a diseased condition. And all of us, more than ever, are dealing with diseased conditions more than ever. Radhakant Prabhu, in your experience, I don't think you have ever dealt with so much disease in the world, right? All of us, so much disease. It's overwhelming disease, isn't it? Not just the COVID-19, but in general, just so much disease that we are exposed to right now. That is, I find myself tremendously overwhelmed by this diseased condition. So it is described that we are in this material world in a disease condition. And the disease is that we are trying to enjoy separate from the Lord. Now, you know, this purport mentions about the words from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th verse, verse number 33. And if you refer to that verse, Prabhupada gave a beautiful class in this verse also. I heard this beautiful class of Prabhupada himself giving. And it refers to the gross and the subtle body. That we all have a body. When we talk about disease condition, what is disease? It is the body which is diseased. And we all have the gross body and the subtle body. And Prabhupada beautifully explains in this lecture that it can be compared to be like a coat and a shirt. We have a coat, not so much in India, but in Western countries, everybody has to wear a coat. And then below the coat is a shirt. And below the shirt is the person's body. So similarly, there's a coat and a shirt. Similarly, we have a gross body and we have a subtle body. And it's explained that by the performance of devotional service, the subtle body of the living entity without separate endeavor just is gone. It's explained in these words. Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate endeavor, just like a fire in stomach digests all that we eat. Very interesting comparison. If we do not have a good power of digestion, then based on how weak it is, to that extent we will not be able to digest certain type of food. But if we have a strong jatragni, very strong power of digestion, then whatever we put, it gets burned. It gets digested. It gets absorbed. And similarly, the fire, you know, if there's a weak fire, if you throw something, a good portion of the thing that you have thrown remains. But if there's a very strong fire, whatever you put is bhasma. It just gets dissolved. It just gets absorbed. It just gets burned completely. So similarly, by the practice of devotional service, whatever subtle things we have, the subtle understanding, the subtle body of legality is completely burned without any separate endeavor. So let us understand, let us really focus for the next few minutes about this aspect of being a diseased condition and also having the understanding that we are the gross body and the subtle body. And so that means when you're talking about a disease condition, we are not only talking about a disease condition of the gross body, which is the disease that we all suffer and we need to go to the hospital or we need to take a medical doctor's opinion to really get sorted out of the disease, but even our subtle body is also diseased. It is not just the gross body. When talking about disease condition, it is not just the gross body which is diseased, the subtle body is diseased. So, in medical terminology, we have something what is called a terminology called toxidrome. Like we have a syndrome. We have a syndrome. Syndrome is a situation. And we have something what is called toxidrome, that when there is increase in toxicity. What is toxicity? I mean, we all have used, we know this word toxin substance, right? What is pollution? Pollution is all about, because there's so much of toxins that has been thrown into the environment and into the air that we breathe. So when we are breathing in toxic air. And
And we have, nowadays, everywhere we go in the cities, we have these levels. And then sometimes we say this, the toxicity is within the limits. But when it goes beyond, it becomes a very toxic air, very dangerous air that we are breathing. So when it comes, so what I'm trying to understand is the toxicity in the environment, or that is on the environment. But similarly, a diseased condition is nothing but when the toxins in the body go to a very, very high dangerous level, and then we get diseased. Till the time the toxicity is within limits, the body can still fight it out. But it goes to a beyond a level, and that is why this, as I said, this particular terminology of toxidrome. And we are all materially and spiritually in a toxidrome situation. The fact that we are in the material world, we are trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. And we have been trying not just this lifetime, for millions of lifetimes. Bhavanam, Janmanam, Ante, Jnanamama, Prapadyante, Vasudeva, Sarvamiti, Sa, Mahatma, Sudurlaba. So before the word explains the rarity of a person who comes to Krishna consciousness, it does explain about why it is so rare. Because Bhavanam, Janmanam, Ante, for many lifetimes, my dear friends, we have been suffering this disease. So when you suffer a disease for a long period of time, you are really heavily toxic. Because you have been carrying this disease not just for a few days or a few months or for a few years, but for a few lifetimes. So let us first recognize the fact, for a patient to be cured, the first thing the patient would need to do is to accept the fact that he is in a disease condition. If he does not understand that he is in disease condition, if he does not understand that he needs to do something about it, he is not going to be very careful. Just the fact that we know that right now we are all very careful, social distancing, mask and all these things. Why? Because we know that it can potentially be a dangerous thing to really not follow this particular precautions of this particular, this particular steps that we need to take to really safeguard ourselves from this situation. So the first thing, my dear friends, we need to all agree to the fact that we are in a toxic situation. But just accepting the fact would not be enough. You know, we need to do something about it. Sometimes, you know, people in the guise or in the mood of being very, very open, they become very, very shameless. Yes, I am lusty, so what? I like to enjoy sex, so what? I like to be greedy, I like to cheat people, so what? People become shameless. Now, the idea is not that you accept something and you become shameless. You know, that is one way of dealing with accepting something. But the idea is to accept something and to do something about it positively, to really do something and to address the situation. We need to address it. We need to do something about it. And if we need to know something about it, we need to diagnose it properly. We need to have somebody to diagnose it. And we need to constantly study it. I'm sure whatever we are talking, this is very much, we are all going through the situation of we are constantly diagnosing. We are conscious about our SPO2. We are conscious about our... We are so conscious... Were any one of us so conscious about a sore throat? sore throat ho gaya. I know it. The moment I get something on the throat, I run, I get hot water, put some haldi, put this. How conscious we are, isn't it? I mean, at least I am. I think you guys are quite transcendental people, so maybe I don't see so much expressions on your face. But, you know, moment you sneeze more than 3-4 times, if something is wrong, you do inhalation. I mean, we are conscious because there is obviously the fear factor. No doubt it is a fear factor. But also the fact is that we are trying to really be conscious and do something about it. So we have diagnosed it that yes, this is something, if these are symptoms. Yeah, I was waiting for you, Gaurang Priya Prabhu. You are a doctor, you will understand this much better. So we know the symptoms, and because it is all over, we know that these symptoms mean this. So we are very conscious. So similarly, my dear friends, you know, when the Shastras explain that we are in a toxic situation, and while Krishna consciousness takes care of everything, that it burns the subtle bodies completely. But we need to understand what are different levels of toxicity that we need to address. Just addressing the toxicity of the soul while we have this material body and the covering, the subtle covering, will not be enough. We need to be also understand the, in a holistic way. I have been thinking over this topic, that's why I thought I will share about holistic detoxification of our lives. When I say holistic, means WHO and HOL both, holistic. We talk about detoxification, you know, everybody needs to detox themselves because there is a need, because toxins, they get accumulated over a period of time. Just by the fact, I mean, for people who are not into from the medical, but you want to be, understand this from the computer, I mean, we all use computers. We have something what is called defragmentation, right? You just keep on using a computer, our files get defragmented, the whole thing becomes slow. So then we run every 6 months, we have the defragmentation. So we just, all the files, they get properly organized in these things. And so their computer becomes fast. So that's why, by the natural process of just living in this material world, you know, we are bound to attract toxins. Because we are not living in a very healthy, I mean, in a pure environment, whether we talk physically and on a higher level than physically, on mentally, and higher level mentally, emotionally, and higher than emotionally, spiritually. So we need to first understand our being, our existence is on all these levels. We exist on the physical level, we exist mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And because we exist, and that's why we clearly mentioned there are different coverings. As I said, the coat and the shirt. And then the self. This is the soul. So we have the material covering and we have the subtle covering. So we need to address the fact that what are we going to do to address the mental toxicity that we have. Now I was reading something, and I don't know how they measured it. Maybe there is no number, but on an average, a person gets 40,000 to 60,000 thoughts in a day. I mean, I'm sure it is much more. I don't know how to measure, because they had a machine where they could measure, and it drew that when a person starts the thought and ends the thought, and then again starts a new thought. But anyway, we all know that we have so many thoughts right now. Right now, my dear friend, we are having so many thoughts in our mind. Right now, I'm also thinking, let me end, let me go. And while I'm talking Bhagavatam, all of us, all having thoughts. And how many thoughts are there? So to the extent we have the large quantum of data, to that extent, that data will create toxicity. Natural, right? To the extent we have something very large, to that extent, you have something which is going to cause there'll be more need for addressing the potential toxicity that can create. So the thoughts, every day there are so many thoughts, and the thoughts are not of the same types. The thoughts are of varieties of types. They are you know, as we understand, they are, I mean, day to day thoughts. That we think that, okay, now I need to brush my teeth, I need to clean my body, I need to do this. It's just routine thoughts. I mean, those thoughts are there, and it comes and goes. And there are positive thoughts, and there are negative thoughts, and then there are heavily negative thoughts. Now, I don't want to go deeper into this discussion, but if the sum total, if you just address that you have a thoughts which is plus 2, plus 1, 0, minus 1, and plus and minus 2, ranging from positive thoughts to negative thoughts, plus 2 being positive and minus 2 being negative. If the summation in end of the day is a negative number, then you are mentally in a toxic situation. And at the end of the day, at the summation of all this, is a positive, then you are safe. So are we addressing of what we think? How we think? What is coming up? Because thoughts are very, very powerful. Of course, there could be a separate beautiful discussion on this, very interesting discussion. But the fact is that we need to be aware that I need to detoxify myself, my mind. And this process of Krishna consciousness is so beautiful and so fantastic and so holistic and so powerful that the very word mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That was for the pleasure of Sudama Prabhu. The very word mantra is basically, of course, by chanting Hare Krishna, you are going to get a slowly love of God. But the word mantra means, is it called Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Mantra means it is first going to affect at the level of your mind. It is going to help you control your mind. So while we are aspiring for understanding the conjugal leelas of Radha and Krishna, and we are aspiring for the high levels of Vrindavan mood, which is very much accessible through this Maha Mantra, Nama Rupa Guna Leela. From the Nam comes Rupa, from Rupa comes Guna, from Guna comes Leela. So we will get access to that. But this mantra, the first thing it does is it is going to help you to control the mind. And that's why when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we are told that just get your mind back. It is the whole access of the mind. It goes, get it back. 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 It's like a ping pong ball with the rubber inside. You throw it, that goes, boom, comes back. Boom. Till the time it is elastic, it will come back. It is not. It goes, then it just remains loitering around and then, manoratena dhavate. The chariot of the mind will just go around everywhere. We need to get it back. So there is a need, my dear friends, every single day to detoxify our mind, which gets toxic, because we get so many thoughts. I mean, only we know what thoughts we get, and if we start talking about it, nobody will, believe that this is what we thought. That's how toxic the thoughts can be. And I'm sure all of us, peeping inside to our mind, we will realize that yes, it's a very toxic mind that we have got. I have got. Sorry, I can't speak for y'all. So we need to address the toxicity of the mind and by mantra. I don't want to really reduce the importance of the mantra just to the level of the mind, but it is a very important that you are conscious, and this mantra is going to purify your mind. And as I heard many years back from Braj Bihari Prabhu, that when you are chanting Hare Krishna and you are not attentive, what does it do? All the thoughts will keep on coming, all the thoughts that we think, the negative thoughts, and many times the negative thoughts are pronounced and more powerful during the time of chanting. I mean, we all have experienced as sadhakas for the last so many years, it comes. But he said, what happens when you are doing intuitive chanting? They slowly, slowly those thoughts, they settle down and in what he called the lake of the mind. We have a lake. And these thoughts, they settle down in the lake of the mind. They come and they settle down. But, when you don't do anything about the lake, like we are going to the kunds in Vrindavan, you wash clothes, you throw dirt. What it's not seen on top, but it goes settle down. But after a few years, that lake or the kunda becomes what? Toxic. Smells sulfur. It smells. You can't even do achman. It is such toxic water. Why? Because it is settled down and start releasing toxics of, right? Similarly, the mind, if you're not doing something about the mind and you keep on just doing inattentive chanting, then in the lake of the mind, all the thoughts will settle down. And at one fine day, we'll realize that the mind has become so toxic that we'll have practically no attachment to chanting the holy names, or we'll not even have faith. That's the sad situation. So we need to do something about it. And then, we have what is called emotional toxicity. Let's be honest, we all have emotions. No matter whether we are sadhus or we are whoever we are made of emotions. That's the fact. And I was just analyzing that there is a need. I mean, these emotions that we have, many of them are what I coined them as undigested or over-processed emotions. Two types. Undigested emotions and over-processed emotions. So, you know, when we have this undigested and over-processed emotions, we need to do something about it. It cannot just be remaining there. I'm sure you understand the very word itself is self-explanatory. Undigested emotions means the emotions which are not being addressed. There's so many emotions just there. And we realize it that maybe we are sort of covering it for some time. But they are there, so they are undigested. We are not addressed it. And many a times, in a particular situation, those emotions come up. Many times it could be based on a typical scenario of what we might go through, what you call midlife crisis situation or whatever. Midlife, it could be a crisis, it could be whatever, but it could be coming up. So it could be various situations. So undigested and over-processed. Sometimes there's so many emotions we are constantly thinking about. For example, if somebody thinks that, you know, why nobody is respecting me? Why nobody is respecting me? You know? So that, I'm just giving an example. So we keep on thinking, oh, I'm not getting respected. It's just over-processed. Or people don't really value me. People don't really. And then that has intense effect on the way you would behave. So undigested, over-processed emotions is very, very important. And as I said, our Krishna consciousness philosophy is so powerful, so holistic. And that is why we are told to have very wholesome, very, very healthy Vaishnava relations. Relations is a powerful antidote to remove the toxicity of emotions. When you have healthy in emotions, when you are sharing good emotion, when you are having good relationships with people, that gives a wholesomeness of emotions. That you are emotionally balanced. You're emotionally happy. So Krishna consciousness is all about emotions. It's all about association of Vaishnavas. And in general, relationships. It's all about relationships, isn't it? It begins with relationships. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangho. Shraddha is all about relationship. Madan Mohan. What is Madan Mohan? Sambandadi Dev Murti, right? It's Sambandha Murti. So we are trying to first establish our relationship with Krishna. Or rather, I would use the word re-establish our relationship with Krishna, because the relationship was already there. But we are trying to re-establish. So it begins with relationships. And as Sachinanda Maharaj beautifully explains, that you know, you have Krishna, which is the mula, the root of the tree. But when you, and it is also said that you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. But how do you water the tree? He explains that you dig the soil and try to find the root and water. Even though we are told that you simply water the root, but we don't water the root actually. We all realize it? Many times we don't. He said just water the root, but we don't water the root. We don't see the root. We water the soil, and through the soil it goes to the root. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that while we are trying to please Krishna, we have to simply water the soil, and the soil are the Vaishnavas. And through the Vaishnavas, it will go to the root Krishna. So that is why the relationship with Krishna will not exist. It is a phantasmagoria. It is a utopic idea. If you think that we can have a relation with Krishna without having a relation with the Vaishnavas. And that is why to remove this emotional toxicity, that to have a balanced emotions, to have a happy emotion, is required. Many people say, well, why are you talking about emotions? We are beyond emotions. You are not. Let's be honest. Because it does affect us. We need to address those emotions. We need to be emotionally balanced. And it's explained, obviously the most important process is spiritual detoxification. As a soul is being burdened by this desire, as we said, to enjoy separate from Krishna. False ego. That is the toxicity of the soul. Because of the false ego, we are trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. And how is Krishna enjoying? Why am I not enjoying? So to really give up this toxicity of the soul is the main purpose of this holy scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. It nourishes us. When you are nourished, then you are automatically addressing your toxicity. What do you do when you eat? You become healthy and it develops energy and automatically it reduces or fights all toxicity. So that is why it is explained that nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, that we are trying to just remove this toxicity of abhadra. Abhadra means toxicity. And what is this scripture doing? It's trying to remove the abhadra things. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, whether we know it or not, whether we are half sleeping or fully awake, whatever situation, if we are regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then it is going to be purifying, detoxifying our soul. And that is the purpose of our life. So it's explained in this particular verse that either automatically or because of one's regulated spiritual practice. So I was trying to think that what is this automatic? I mean, we already discussed about the different types of toxicity, and we are going to our next discussion about this verse saying automatic. And many times we say that, oh, it's automatic. Krishna goes, automatically ho gaya. Now, at the same time, we have a phrase in English. We said, there are no free lunches in the world. We have heard this phrase, right? There are no free lunches. You have to pay for your lunches. There is no free lunch. So nothing in this, in our process is automatic. Let's be honest. And we say automatic. No, it's not automatic. So I was hearing another lecture of, or rather reading a particular lecture of His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. And he actually beautifully explained, some others just came across that. He said, nothing is automatic. And how did he explain? They said, what is automatic? I said, automatic means when some or the other we are in touch with somebody or something which is very dear to Krishna, then it is automatic. But you still have to be, and you know, then he gives the example, and even His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj gives a similar example, same similar examples of two personalities, of Amogha and the dog of Shivananda Sen. You know, we all know Amogha, he had this great desire to always blaspheme. He was just brilliant in criticizing. And to top it up all, he would love to criticize Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always very, very mercifully disposed towards him. Why was it? So from one point of view, it appears that for Amogha to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya was automatic, because, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually, you know, he got cholera. He got cholera. He got cholera. But then, of course, he got the mercy of the Lord and became a wonderful devotee. So in one sense, we can see that he didn't really work very hard. He was actually blaspheming people. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because this personality is connected to you, I give him complete mercy. But the fact is, we need to work towards being connected to somebody, or we need to be dear to somebody. It is not automatic. That, you know, let us, I mean, at least, you know, it's quite evident that in this material world, that the way we are living now, that thing is going to be easy. You know, there are no shortcuts. There are no situations where you can just hold a dhoti of somebody and go back to Godhead. These are all nice statements. But, you know, being sober, you know, people, I mean, with the time comes some maturity, and we know that there are no shortcuts, there's nothing automatic. We have to work hard, and that's why there are no free lunches. I love this statement, because nothing is free. Even if you go to a bhandara, you need to go there, and then you get free lunch. But you need to work hard to something, then there are no free lunches. So you need to So I was a little perplexed. What is it? Either automatic, because it is specifically mentioned in these words. Either automatically or because of one's regulative spiritual practice. So he talks about two things, automatically or spiritual practice. So I was wondering, how can something be automatic? It means just by nothing? Because the word automatic means what? Yeah, ho gaya. It's just automatic. But the way we understand automatic is in this light. Through the beautiful example of Amogha, and Shivananda Sen, a dog. And you know, it was explained that this dog was not even one of those high species of dogs. You know, not one of those, I mean, I don't know the names of different species, but the big ones, and there was a lot of fur and all, whatever. He was a street dog. But he became dear, or rather, Shivananda Sen liked him and he became dear to Shivananda Sen. And what happened? In one sense, it was automatic. The dog became a pure devotee. And we hear this story, I say, Kaisa yaar, my goodness, dog. And he was getting ecstatic symptoms. What is this? Of course, there are two stories of dogs, right? One dog, when he got ecstatic symptoms and he did Harina, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was feeling. Yeah. So how is it possible? But it is not automatic. What we understand is we need to be dear. And to be dear to a Vaishnava, to be really dear, so that the Lord recognizes that this person is dear to that Vaishnava, we need to be really, really dear. It's not automatic. So that's what it is, it's very, very wonderfully explained in this verse. And that is why the spiritual practices, we are going to the third part of our discussion. The spiritual practice or the way we are trying to execute Krishna consciousness is all about, relating to Krishna. And Krishna is so brilliant in one thing that we realize that one aspect of Krishna, of course, Krishna is brilliant in everything. But one thing which is most amazing to see is that Krishna has an amazing capacity to reciprocate with his devotees. Because nobody can have that, because Krishna is all-powerful, so his power of reciprocation is all-powerful. Because, if I want to reciprocate somebody, but because I'm not all-powerful, sometimes I can't because I'm limited. So even if I want to reciprocate, I can't. Because, sometimes that person will not experience my reciprocation because I am limited. But only one person who can actually reciprocate completely with every single living entity in this creation is Krishna, because Krishna is the only person who is complete. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. And that is what is the inspiration we all have. Because we are not, sometimes we have a boss who just doesn't reciprocate. You work hard and he's not going to reciprocate. He doesn't really care less of what you have done. So to work for such a person is very difficult, right? You have no encouragement, nobody, no reciprocation. You work hard, you have really, done so much of hard work, no reciprocation. But here is Krishna, we are working hard, we are trying to burn our subtle bodies, trying to really some other struggle with the mind. Yes, we all are struggling, it's a fact, right? We all are seriously struggling. But the wonderful thing is that Krishna has all the capacity and he has all the intentions, both the things, capacity and intentions, to perfectly reciprocate with his devotees. And that's why we should have the inspiration to continue our detoxification process. Because Krishna is there to help. And I would like to substantiate with in the next few minutes about this beautiful pastimes, this beautiful month of Kartik. Nice to hear about Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna, from Vrindavan, he goes to Mathura. And how beautifully he reciprocates with his devotees. It's very sweet. So Krishna was said that, okay, I'm in Mathura, let me just go around and see the city. Because this whole idea of sightseeing is originally from Krishna. Krishna said, mere ko bhi gaon se aaya hun, I'm from a village, I want to see a city. Mathura seems to be a beautiful city. So Krishna took all his friends and they were just, they were just having a fun time on the street. And we see this quote-unquote, people on the streets, on the nukkad, young boys, they make fun. Of course, this is a perverted reflection. But the original street roaming of young boys was done by Krishna. Because he, with his cowboy, and you can see why I'm saying this. And they're making jokes at everything. It's explained. There's a beautiful book Shivaram Swami has written on Nav Vrajadham Mahimamrita. It's a beautiful, elaborate book on the various parts of Krishna. Nav Vrajadham Mahimamrita, and I've been reading that book. And he very, very detailed explains that Krishna was going around and the first thing Krishna sees, please remember the aspect of reciprocation. That's the point we are in today. And let us really appreciate this great personality who's standing in front of us, that yes, Krishna, you are such an amazing reciprocator. So here is a person, so there is a washerman. And washerman is there, and Krishna is going around with his friends. Balramji is there, Krishna is there, and they're just seeing things around. And Krishna saw the washerman, and the moment he saw the washerman, he realized that this person was the same person in my previous life as Sri Ram, who was a washerman in Ayodhya, who actually created such trouble because of his cancer of blasphemy. Because he was the one who actually said, well, how can you accept Sita? How can Ram accept? Because she has quote-unquote stayed with some other man. And that thought was started by this I won't call him a gentleman, but this personality. and he had this cancer still there. The cancer was still there. Shivaram Swami calls it the cancer of blasphemy. It's a cancer. It grows. We blaspheme one person, it grows and goes to Krishna. It grows till the time you blaspheme, start blaspheming Krishna. And the person who got the epitome of cancer was Shishupal. he got heavily cancerous blasphemy. So this person, Krishna said that I need to do something about it. Krishna is reciprocating. He said, I want to get him rid of this cancer. I can't see him for lifetimes having this cancer. So he went to this washerman and said, please give me this some clothes. You seem to be carrying the nice clothes. And this person said, hey, what are you thinking? These are the king's clothes. How dare you ask about the king's clothes? If you ask this again, then I am going to be calling the king's messengers and getting you imprisoned. And he said, by the way, he said that, you know, you guys are from Vrindavan and you do lot of mischief in Vrindavan with the gopis, I've heard. But this is a city. In city, this mischief is not be tolerated. And he was so angry and so blasphemous. Krishna said, I don't want this sort of a guy. So he just, in one shot, just, you know, as like a surgical knife, you need to remove the cancer. He just cut off his and removed the cancer. And the fact is that he removed the cancer because actually speaking, this person actually was completely purified and went back to Godhead. In spite of the fact that just few seconds before he died, he was blaspheming. Please understand that. Antakale chamam evam. Okay, antakale he must have thought of Krishna. But just few moments before antakale, he was not thinking of Krishna. He was actually blaspheming Krishna, but Krishna sent him. Because Krishna was very, very kind. And of course, then comes the more exciting person, weaver. You know, then Krishna sees a weaver. And this weaver, he was constantly, focusing on how I can serve Krishna. This weaver was the same weaver in Mithila who was given the order by Janak Maharaj, please stitch the clothes of Ram and Lakshman, their wedding clothes. So he was actually the person who actually stitched the wedding clothes of Ram and Lakshman and Bharat and Shatrughna. And he was having strong desire. I don't want to really stitch the clothes, but I want to make them wear to Ram. Just like we have so many devotees making beautiful clothes. You know, many of them design the clothes, but the greatest happiness is when they dress Radha Gopinath. Oh, wow, what a pleasure. So this person has such strong desire that, but he was not given a chance that, just give the clothes. They took the clothes and they gave to Ram and somebody else dressed him. And he was feeling, I want to dress him. And then Krishna was there. He reciprocated. He met the washerman. He said, can you give this beautiful clothes that you have? And washerman, in spite of being the servant of Kamsa, he gave up his fear. He's explained that when you have love for Krishna, to the extent you are directly proportionally, you have less fear. Bhajahure mana Srinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. So this person had no fear because he had so much love for Krishna. The other fellow gentleman, he had so much fear. Because he had no love for Krishna. So he had love for Krishna. He said, take as whatever clothes you want, the best of clothes, you know, he gave. And can you imagine how Krishna reciprocated? He was so happy with this person. I said, I give you a benediction that you get the 6 opulences in this life and a form like us in the next lives. That's how Krishna was so happy. Because this person was such happy to serve Krishna. Krishna reciprocated. Years and years and years and years of wait. Can you imagine? He was waiting since the time of Mithila. I'm talking about Treta Yuga. He waited. Krishna said, I will bless you. And then comes, then Krishna is on a journey to reciprocate with people, right? So then there is a florist. The florist was actually a Mali in the kingdom of Kubera. And his name was Hema Mali. Not Hema Malini. Hema Mali. Hema Mali. And he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And he would every day worship Lord Shiva with 300 lotus flowers. He would worship Lord Shiva with 300 lotus flowers. And Lord Shiva was very pleased one fine day. And he said, what do you want? I said, I have... And the devotees have very unique desires. I said, I want to I want to offer flower to Krishna, but I don't want to offer him like this, but he should come to my house. And there when I can offer flower. How specific desire devotees have. Very unique. So he said, Krishna should come to my house. So Krishna, after he gave blessings to the weaver, he was asking for Mathura people, where is this Sudama, the florist? Krishna was asking for him, and then they showed him the house. This is the house of Sudama. And then Krishna entered his house. Can you imagine the ecstasy of this gentleman? So wow, Krishna and Balram and all the cowboys entering his house, and there were so many garlands that he was making. He was a florist, he was making garlands. And he was just so ecstatic. It was explained that he was putting one garland and then he removed the garland. Put another garland, remove the garland. And so many garlands. He was in ecstasy. He was blissful. And he was putting one by one garland. And Krishna then saw on the corner, there was one garland which was not completely made. So he looked at that garland and said, what about that? Why don't you complete that and then put it to me? And he was in happiness. Oh, wow. So he made the garland. He got all his people to make the garland. He completed the garland and he put it to Krishna. And Krishna beautifully reciprocated with Sudama, a florist. And here comes, we will end, I'm sorry, I'm going a little over time. And here comes the main personality that we are trying to focus our discussion on. Then Krishna was going around. And then comes Kubja. And it's explained that Kubja, she is the expansion of Satyabhama. And Satyabhama is nothing but Prithvi or Bhumi. Satyabhama is Bhumi. And Kubja is a partial expansion. I use the word, a partial expansion of Satyabhama. And her deformed features were representing the situation of the earth, which is tormented by the greedy people who exploit the earth. And her fragrant sandalwood and fragrance that she was carrying was signifying what the earth has to offer to Krishna. The earth is also, as we're discussing, is in a heavily toxic condition right now. And that's why what's happening is basically detoxification. The earth is enough is enough, isn't it? The earth is heavily toxic by what we are doing. And Kubja represents, and she was Trivrakra. Bent in three places, not like Krishna, but in a very deformed way. And Krishna saw Kubja. And Kubja, as we said, she represents the earth. And Krishna saw that this is what... And she also represents Surpanakha. And not represents, she actually is non-different than Surpanakha. And Surpanakha, we don't know that when she came, and of course she was attracted to Ram, she attracted to Lakshman, and her nose was cut, she ran to Ravan, she instigated Ravan. And the war started, right? Ravan got instigated. We know the Ramayana war. But we don't really need to ask, but none of us really bother to know what happened to Surpanakha. But what happened is she went to this Pushkar, a place, and she was performing tapasya below underwater for 10,000 years. And Lord Brahma got pleased by her and he said, what do you want? I said, please, I want Ram as, he's still around, he's still there. I want Ram as my husband. I said, not possible. Not this time. Next lifetime. Krishna is there to fulfill everybody's desires. All ladies, next life. nothing for Ram. Nothing with Ram. So she said, yeah. So Kubja came as Surpanakha came as Kubja. And she had intense, passionate feelings for Krishna. And when Krishna saw and... So as I was explaining, the coward friends were walking. And Krishna sees Kubja. He said, oh beautiful lady. And all the friends started laughing. How is this? I said, who are you? I said, I carry fragrance for the for the king. So one coward boy said, she is so beautiful that she should actually marry Kamsa. She is so beautiful. I said, no, no. Then Krishna said, no. You know, there are so many other beautiful ladies like her. And Kamsa has already married them. But in due course, Kamsa will definitely marry her also. So they're cracking jokes. And this lady was so embarrassed. Can you imagine this boy is cracking jokes on her and Krishna calling her beautiful when she knows that she is... So Krishna was just trying to, create a funny situation. But all this while, the acharyas explained that she was so much attracted to the beauty of Krishna. She was looking at Krishna and she was so attracted. So Krishna said, so what are you carrying, by the way? I said, I'm carrying this fragrance. Why don't you give it to us? So Kupja was so attracted. I said, give the fragrance to Krishna. And gave all the ointments that she was carrying. Very fragrant. But Kamsa loved the fragrance that Kupja used to make. She used to herself make it. And that day, it is explained that Kupja made two special fragrances. One was yellow in color and one was blue in color. And guess what? Krishna took the yellow color. And Balram took the blue color. And Krishna applied in his dark complexion, he put a yellow color. That's what I explained. The Krishna was looking so charming. Black, dark Krishna with a yellow color ointment. And Balram, who was fair complexion, took a blue color. And that's how he was just looking so charming. He applied and it was great fun time. They were enjoying. And Kupja was looking at Krishna. I said, now that you have pleased us, O lady, I want to do something for you and I can straighten you. And now it is explained that all the time Krishna was embarrassing Kupja, right, by talking the way they talked. The Acharya said, now it is time for Krishna to get embarrassed. So Kupja spoke one sentence and Krishna was embarrassed. I said, whatever you want to do, O Krishna, please come to my house. And she said it in such a lushful, lusty way. All the cowboys saying, they were like making fun. I mean, so that original came from there. And Krishna was embarrassed. He said, what are you talking? I can't come to your house. He said, no, but I don't need to come to your house. I have some business to do, but I can purify you and I can straighten you right there. And Krishna, of course, we know, he took his finger and put his leg and straight, and Kupja became so extremely beautiful. So beautiful. Not only her body, but her heart. Her heart was more beautiful. Jiva Goswami explains, Shivaram Swami quotes, that Kupja's heart was resplendently beautiful. And it was, her body was just showing a small portion of her original beauty. And then she went and she waited for Krishna to go. Krishna went and till the end she could see Krishna. She waited and then she went to her house. Krishna promised that I'll come to your house later on. She went to her house. Even her house was transformed. There was a huge palace instead of a house and the people waiting for her. They gave her a very royal bath. And she became very opulent and beautiful. Krishna reciprocated with her. So the point is, my dear friends, we are going over time. So the point, what we wanted to learn is that while we are working hard, we need to be cognizant of the fact that there is a need for all levels of detoxification in our life so that we can be a wonderful offering to Krishna. And while we are offering whatever best we can to Krishna, Krishna is such a wonderful God that He is a brilliant in reciprocating, and we should have faith that we are dealing with a person who has all the capacity to reciprocate with everything that we desire. So let's have faith and deal with this personality who is such a brilliant in reciprocation. That was the purpose of our discussion. So that the power of bhakti is so wonderful that it can burn not only the gross but the subtle bodies and all the things that we have. But we need to be cognizant of the fact that we are in a diseased condition, we are in a toxic condition, and we need to do something about it. And every day there has to be detoxification on the mental, emotional, spiritual, and of course physical level. And if we keep ourselves in the healthy condition, then in this healthy condition, we can be a wonderful offering to Lord Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Itai Gaura Premanandi. Amen.